News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the ribbon cutting ceremony for the IHMC Healthspan Resilience and Performance Research Complex. We've got a hallelujah out there.
Hallelujah for the next phase of IHMC's expansion here in Pensacola. Ken Ford, of course, the I don't know what Ken's actual title is, founder, chief, president, senior smart guy in charge of everything. I think they all apply. But talking a little bit about the history of the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition, which just grand opened their next big facility yesterday, the Healthspan Resilience and Performance Research Center.
So founded in 1990, IHMC relocated to historic downtown in 1999. And as Pam said, our original research thrust was AI and cognitive science. And this continues to be one of the primary legs of our three-legged research stool. And it remains a critical area of work for us.
So what are the elements? One is AI and cognitive science. Another?
In 2004, we added robotics and exoskeletons to our research portfolio. See, even the Blue Angels are happy.
Practicing in the background.
And this area, robotics and exoskeletons, comprised our second leg of the stool. A good stool should have three legs. And today we'll celebrate the third leg.
And that third one is in the new building.
And this brings us today, where 34 years ago, when IHMC started, we had no notion of a facility like this. And today we'll cut the ribbon on a one-of-a-kind research complex where truly leading-edge research will take place focused on health span resilience and human performance.
So the new facility is going to deal with basically how to make the body better. I think it's kind of the layman's terms to understand what happens to the body over time, what causes it to decline in performance in a whole range of measures. And anything dealing with human function from teams of people down to individuals, down to individual organs, down to even individual molecules within your body.
This facility and the engineers and scientists that will inhabit it will permit IHMC to be one of the few research institutions able to work effectively at all levels, from a single molecule of interest to the whole human, and even with groups of humans and machines.
That's a pretty wide array of possibilities, but as the title would suggest, it's dealing with the entire range of human resilience and performance and, you know, health span. That's like there's a lot of stuff that would fall within that. Now, what I also thought was kind of interesting is if you don't know what IHMC does, then now you know a little bit, okay? If you do already know what IHMC does, you might ask the question, and I think it's a reasonable question that a sort of person might ask who becomes aware of the amazing work that gets done at IHMC is, well, why are they here? You know, I mean, it's just, it's in Pensacola. And why? Why is it in Pensacola? Because IHMC, the more you learn about it, it's the kind of thing you would think would be in like Research Triangle or would be in San Francisco or would be in some major metropolitan area. You know, why here, right? I mean, it's a fair question. Okay, an internationally accomplished, you know, military partner, all kinds of things that they do there. And Ken Ford says, because we think Pensacola is the perfect place to have the kind of people working on the kinds of things that we're doing.
This dynamic new research complex right in the heart of downtown Pensacola will enable continuous interactions and frequent collisions of people and ideas across many academic disciplines and at many local venues. We believe in place-based innovation, and IHMC is a great place to do innovative research. This will provide the underpinnings for our shared vision for Pensacola to continue to evolve as a habitat for innovation. And I actually find this quite exciting.
A couple of different elements of that I really like. Number one is that concept of place-based innovation, which is, you know how you hear like from Civicon, okay? Always this conversation about a good place, a place to, you know, live, work, and play, but a place that has things that people want to be around. And part of the has things that people want to be around is other people. You know, it's not just having the nice amenities. You know, having the baseball team is great, and having the hockey team is great, and having, you know, a thriving downtown restaurant scene and bars is great. But if you don't have other good people around, then why would you want to live here even with the amenities? And so there's long been this push to make Pensacola the kind of place that isn't what people want to grow up and get away from, which it was for years, but the kind of place where people want to grow up and stay in, or that they want to come here from elsewhere in order to do cool stuff right downtown because we're that kind of a place. And so that's a lot of the push around making downtown interesting is to cater to and appeal to this sort of next generation of workers who don't necessarily have to be in a place to make the work happen, remote work, but also where they do need to be in a place to make the work happen, but they want to be around other people who are doing cool stuff. And I love that concept of collisions between interesting people, because it's, you know, long been my theory that a lot of human interactions are based on, you know, who do you bump into the most? You know, at work, you know, you become friends with the people that you're bumping into all the time. And not that you're physically bumping in, but you're around them. You know, there's interaction, there's engagement. You know, why do romances spring up in workplaces? Because you're bumping into people all the time. You know, not bumping in that way, but you're bumping into them, and that creates relationships, and that produces other effects. Well, having the thriving bar scene downtown, having the thriving restaurant scene downtown is another way in which people are bumping into each other and talking and hanging out, and it's this kind of whole concept of what a city can be for the future when you have high quality people working there. And that's clearly what Ken Ford is talking about as one of the advantages of having IHMC located in downtown Pensacola.
In closing, I'd like to say that none of this would have been possible without the strong support of the community and its leadership.
And I know the, and that's true, because if you don't craft the right kind of place, then you're not going to have the right kind of people who want to go to the right kind of place. You know, D.C., when he was talking about this, of course, he used to run Perfect Plane right there on Garden. And he kind of made the comment. He said, I have seen this in practice. I have seen what happens with the folks at IHMC that, you know, when they're having, I don't know, events or people or just the workers there want to do something. They want to be able to walk down 500 feet away and go to a cool bar and go to a cool coffee shop and go out to eat. And that's something that we have now.
Here you'll continue to support vibrant exchanges among researchers, residents, and visitors at local establishments. I can speak firsthand that researchers love craft beer. And although that doesn't help me much anymore, I'll let the next speaker talk about the benefits of research and craft beer and their correlation. This helps create a dynamic fabric of our community. IHMC's focus on promoting a Pensacola environment where our citizens can live, walk, work, and play is a fundamental cornerstone of our ongoing campaign for this community.
And that's a new addition to the phrase. The phrase has always been live, work, and play, and that's the first time I had heard DC use the add-on of walk, live, walk, work, and play. You know, there's for as long as I've lived here, there's been this push to make Pensacola a walkable community instead of a commuter community, which, you know, everything from building Southtown to all of the other, you know, downtown development of houses and, you know, all the amenities and all of the activity and the events and the vibrant cultural scene with everything from the Sanger to the Opera to PLT to, you know, kind of put all of that together and you get a better place where we can have businesses like this that, you know, do research and grow and become centers of innovation and really lead the way for the next century in what Pensacola can become. So it's just obviously getting IHMC into a new facility, which is working on human performance, is fantastic. because the things that they're going to do in that field are unbelievable. But generally speaking, the reflection that IHMC gives to what's happening as a community in downtown Pensacola, don't overlook that, because that's the marketing pitch to people to want to develop stuff here, or to people who have a small that want to become a medium or want to have a significant, they want to be a part of something. Hey, come here. We can do this here and you can be a part of it. So as I say, it's not just the IHMC ribbon cutting. It's all of the other stuff that goes along with why they would want to be here in Pensacola at all. 519 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And speaking of innovation and next generations of technology and education, Pensacola State College, you heard David talking at the top of the hour, their connection with the research being done at ST and the donation of that airliner to work on, but also just in general. PSC offers an amazing array of classes for people in all different kinds of circumstances, whether you're, you know, a non-traditional student who's going back and wanting to change careers, or you're a traditional student who wants to get maybe an associate's degree or wants to do, you know, college before university, which obviously makes a lot of sense for an awful lot of people. You know, I taught at community college. I love teaching at community college. That was a lot of fun. And for my kids, if you're in high school and you want to dual enrollment, you know, you get high school credits. You can graduate high school while taking college classes at PSC. And then you can actually go to university with, like, both of my oldest kids are going with a year and a half of credit under their belt, because you get, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. Dual enrollment is free. So books and classes are free. And they're going to go, you know, after 3 years of dual enrollment, they get their high school degree and they start as sophomores and a half in their mechanical engineering at UWF. So smaller class sizes, teacher and student oriented, flexible, accommodating, and a variety of class times, which really worked out well for us, trying to make sure that we got both the teachers that they liked and also, you know, the class times that worked for, you know, having kids in both schools, kind of that schedule. So they've been a great resource for my family. Pensacola, Warrington, Milton Century, South Santa Rosa Center, Downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Pro Paint Days are back at Lowe's. Save $40 on select 5-gallon HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams Paint, like Weather Shield, Showcase, or Ceiling Paint. Plus, save $10 on drywall PVA primer and get free same-day delivery to the job site when you order by 2 p.m. Lowe's knows paint. Lowe's knows pros. Offers valid through 6/14. Delivery by 8 p.m. Subject to driver availability. Additional terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:23 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, yesterday, President Biden was seen embracing his son Hunter after he was convicted on those gun charges in Delaware. The president made a last-minute change in his schedule to travel to Wilmington, Delaware after that verdict came out. The White House proposing some new regulations that would stop medical debt from showing up on credit reports. Tuesday, Vice President Harris announced the proposition would remove up to $49 billion in medical debt from over 15 million different credit reports. And
the question I would have, okay, not to be the difficult person in the room on this one, but the question that I would have is, can you show me the evidence, insurance companies, can you show me the evidence that there is a reasonable nexus between somebody having high medical bills and being a poor credit risk? Because if you can show that there's a rational nexus between, because what you tend to think is, well, somebody who's got high medical bills got unlucky and had some disease or some incident that put them, you know, from having $10,000 on their credit cards to having $250,000 across a wider range of, you know, right? I mean, that's
right.
And how can you blame somebody who their wife got cancer or they got into an accident or they got their leg? Yeah, you know, right? All the things that can happen. Okay. Totally understand. That's my first reaction too. But my second question is, what's the purpose of credit reporting, right? The purpose of credit reporting is for people to know whether somebody is a good risk to bet on and extending credit to that person. And what I would want to know is, since insurance companies are in the business of making money by figuring out who to lend money to, I'm assuming that there is some kind of reason that the credit reporting agencies would include medical debt, because it does tell the insurance companies or purchase companies or whoever wants to supply you with, you know, needs a credit report, that it means something to them, that it helps you figure out who is a good and a bad risk when it comes to renting or whatever. And so that would be my press, is I just, you know, show me that there's a rational connection, that that information helps to determine, because it might be true that people who have high medical bills are a much worse risk for extending credit. It might be true. It might be false. I don't know, but that's what I'd want to see. So right. Anyway, just I was thinking about this story, and you know, my first reaction is good. My second reaction is, now wait a minute. You know, why does it exist in the first place? And I don't know, but I'm curious. So sorry, I kind of interrupted you, David.
No,
go ahead.
That's all right. Also, we do have an update on former President Jimmy Carter. His grandson says that he is no longer awake every day as he's still in hospice care. In a recent interview with Southern Living magazine, Jason Carter said that his grandfather is experiencing the world as best he can, though. President Carter now nearing 16 months in hospice care.
All right. Thanks so much, David, for that update. I appreciate it. 526 here on News Radio Pensacola. Man, so much news yesterday, including Jaws is out. Jaws cannot defend his title. Joey Chestnut has been prohibited from competing at the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest on the 4th of July this year. Yeah, because he endorsed a like one of these plant-based hot dog products. And so Nathan said, we are not going to have you as a representative of one of these other competing products eating in our competition, which really makes me dislike Nathan's hot dogs a lot.
Right, right.
I understand that that is a promotional event for them. At the same time, And I understand, like, their argument is, well, what would you think if Michael Jordan suddenly decided to endorse Adidas? I think, what, would you ban Jordan from the NBA? I mean, that's your thought? Like, that's the analog? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So, you know, that's what's happening. He's not going to be able to compete this year because he got money from them. And I guess I was reading about this. This is a little bit interesting. I think he gets paid, like, $100,000 just to appear.
Wow.
I read that in one place. I thought, wow, that is, you know, and if Nathan's is paying him and what's going on is that they are declining to pay him, that's one thing, I suppose, you know, but if he just gets paid, because obviously he is a huge draw for that event and nobody's going to look at that event the same if he's not in it.
Right.
It's basically the, you know, the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Joey Chestnut Hot Dog Eating Contest. I mean, that's what it is. So just odd development this year.
Wow,
he got paid $200,000 to participate in the 2023 and it has a four-year $1.2 million offer to compete in the event. Prior to this, David,
has a chance now. David, I'm
are
so
you gonna
proud
go into
you.
Training, David?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Right now.
Very good.
Right.
Whatever you need me to do in terms of not doing anything, I will be right there for you. 437-1620. Oh, this is a story that it makes me chuckle a little bit when non-religious people do religious reporting, because you know, I've talked about this many times. It used to be the case that your newspaper had a religion reporter,
mm-hmm.
or your, you know, TV station, you know, had a religion reporter, your newspaper, you know, whatever. They understood religion. Of course, we used to be more of that. Anyway, it's now the case that generally, you're lucky if anybody in the newsroom at a, you know, news organization is particularly religious at all, let alone today. So the headlines on the reporting about the Southern Baptist Convention kind of make me chuckle a little bit. Southern Baptists expel Virginia church for believing women can serve as pastors. This is true. The Southern Baptist Convention, it's been a long time coming. They've had this vote to oust First Baptist Church of Alexandria, a historic Virginia congregation,
right,
that affirms women can serve in any pastoral role, including as senior pastor. For those of you who are not that familiar with your Bible, there are several passages in the Bible that many Christians interpret to mean that women should not serve in authority over men, whether at all in teaching in the church or at least in terms of the senior pastor role in the church. That is a widely held belief among traditional conservative Christians. And Southern Baptist is not a, it's an affiliation of churches, but you can still choose to say that somebody's not really in alignment with your values. It's not like the Catholic Church, it's just a different kind of system. But like last year, or the year, a couple of years ago, they removed Saddleback Church, Rick Warren's church, for, you know, not really being in alignment. So, yeah, I mean, that's what made them decide that this church wasn't in. It's true, but, you know, it's meant to generate the, oh, those evil Southern Baptists. Well, you know, those evil Southern Baptists are just kind of doing what the vast majority of conservative Christians kind of believe the Bible says.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. 8 ISIS-linked terror suspects arrested in New York City, Los Angeles, and Philadelphia.
Not only did those 8 terror suspects enter the United States illegally through the southern border, they apparently received, quote, full vetting, according to our own Bill Malusian. The suspects are from Tajikistan, the landlocked country in Central Asia. It borders Afghanistan to the south and China to the east.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson reporting. Hunter Biden's defense team vowing to appeal the guilty verdict in his federal gun case. No date yet for a sentencing. Faces 25 years in prison, but his sentence expected to be far less or even no time behind bars. His dad, the president, returns to Europe for the second time in 3 days, this time landing in Italy for the start of the G7 summit. Double whammy for the economy. The consumer price index gauging inflation this morning and 2 p.m. Eastern, the decision on interest rates from the Federal Reserve. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne, 73 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies this morning. The city of Pensacola has been exploring how much it would cost to open and operate a low-barrier homeless shelter. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city had a study done by the operator of a shelter in Gainesville. The annual costs would be estimated between $2.1 and $3.4 million.
This is precisely why we did this study, is because what we didn't want to do is run ourselves into, under a time crunch, into buying a building and moving forward with something of which we're not prepared to see through.
During his weekly news conference, Reeves says it won't happen unless businesses or other local governments step up and are willing to help pay for it. In the aftermath of 2 shark attacks in Walton County last week, a group of medical professionals are now being celebrated. According to WKRG, several nurses and doctors, Ryan Forbes and Muhammad Ali, were at the beach on vacation when the shark attacks occurred.
All of a sudden, we heard, you know, a lot of, you know, people yelling and people running out toward, out of the water. As I'm getting my kids on the beach, I saw the blood in the water. Stop the bleeding. And we need to get her off this beach as soon as possible.
At Forbes works at Orange Beach Family Medicine. He says the group immediately sprung into action and tied tourniquets to the girl's leg and hand and applied pressure to her wounds. He said, quote, we might as well worked with them for years. It was amazing. It was God's will that everyone was there to help at the same time. Authorities are warning Florida service members about a loan scam that's going around.
The NCIS says suspects are targeting financial companies who primarily work with military personnel. Now, right now, it doesn't appear that our area has been hit hard, but multiple reports have come out of Jacksonville, Mayport, and Kings Bay. The agency says scammers are approaching victims in public areas and asking where the nearest bank is before requesting to borrow the victim's phone. The person will then claim that they forgot their debit card or got locked out of their account. Similar experiences can be reported directly to the NCIS. Joe Ford, News Radio, Pensacola.
Well, one woman's hurt, another behind bars after a fight in Escambia County over a Dunkin' Donuts cup. Sharika Crenshaw posted bond last night after her arrest Monday for an incident that happened a few weeks ago in Pensacola. The sheriff's office says Crenshaw approached a woman and accused her of having a cup that belonged to her. Crenshaw says she tried to take the cup and started beating the woman. The victim fell to the ground. Crenshaw allegedly was hitting her, took the cup, and drove away. The victim suffered swelling on her forehead, bleeding near her eye. 32-year-old Crenshaw now charged with second-degree robbery. It is 5:34 at News Radio Pensacola. Right now we do have partly cloudy skies. It's 72 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Amazon Web Services, the cloud computing unit of the U.S. tech giant, is launching an infrastructure region in Taiwan by early 2025 as it seeks to meet high demand for cloud services in the Asia-Pacific region. The new AWS region will enable firms to capitalize on the cloud and build storage, databases, analytics, and artificial intelligence. AWS is also planning on investing billions of dollars in Taiwan over the next 15 years. Major League Eating has announced Joey Chestnut, the 16-time champion of the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest, will not compete in this year's competition. The organization said the decision comes after Chestnut chose to represent a rival brand that sells plant-based hot dogs. Hot dog sales have been on the decline as wellness and health-conscious eating trends lead consumers away from processed foods to healthier alternatives. Futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
This Father's Day, celebrate the legacy of shooting sports and essential survival skills passed down through generations. At Jim's Firearms, they're proud to support dads who teach their kids not just how to aim, but also how to respect and enjoy the great outdoors. From expert advice to top quality gear, Jim's Firearms has everything you need to make this Father's Day unforgettable. Jim's Firearms, where tradition begins and legacy lives on. Find Jim's Firearms at the corner of Sorrento Road and Blue Angel Parkway, at the back gate of NAS, and also online at jimsfirearms.net.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable?
Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620.
We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast.
From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered.
Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, as we do on a Tuesday, about a wide variety of matters. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
How long have you been in office now?
Some say too long.
Okay.
No.
4 years? Are we?
Oh, yeah. This is the 4 year.
This is the 4 year. Okay. All right. I sometimes lose track of these things. It's because, you know, when I get used to the person who's in the office, whatever it is, it feels like that's always been the person.
Right.
You know, and it's just hard. It's hard to remember. You used to be the police chief and you used to be Sheriff Morgan and, you know, just kind of, I don't know, had a moment there for a second. this may not be the biggest story of the week, but it was probably the more weird one. You know, we occasionally get stories about people, machetes. There seems to have been a rash of machetes not that long ago. I'm hoping this is a one of and not a first of, but chainsaw against the neighbor's house? Is that what this story is?
Well, up in Century, yeah, I had some friends, one of which name is 52-year-old Brian Wiggins. He was at a friend's house with a woman, and they left, and he came back and became angered, and he asked where the woman was. I guess the woman had disappeared somewhere. Got mad, and there was a chainsaw around, so he picks up the chainsaw, turns it on, and starts cutting into the, I guess, former friend at this point, door.
That is how you announce the friendship's over, is you use a chainsaw on their door. All right.
This is
in century.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of places. That would be
sure.
The case,
that would universal announcement. Yeah. Sure, fair enough.
Anyway, so he cuts the door with a chainsaw, ends up getting arrested with we charge him a bunch of stuff: aggravated assault, deadly weapon, obstruction of justice, all the good charges that come with taking.
Nobody's
a chainsaw
hurt
to a front
in the
door.
End.
No one's hurt, but the door.
But the door is a fatality. All right, fair enough. Could have been worse. Since we're in century, one person's chainsaw is another man's cinder block.
Well, you use the weapons that are available to you.
I guess it's the arsenal that you have at hand.
Yeah, we charge Antonio Marcelo Lett with a felony throwing a deadly missile because he, during a dispute, he threw a cinder block through the windshield of a Dodge Avenger.
As you do.
With someone in the front seat. It was parked in front of residence on Ivy Street. And anyways, you can't do that. You can't take chainsaws to doors. You can't throw cinder blocks to windows of cars. Certainly not with people who are in them. And we end up charging that the cinder block thrower.
If for a deadly missile, it's not a very aerodynamic missile, but it is a dangerous one. By the way, this was the only solace I took from this story was at least they weren't driving. This was a stationary car.
Yeah, if you've got to find some good.
I mean, if you got to draw sunlight out of it somehow. Because my first thought was, you know, people throwing stuff at cars always makes me worried, but at least it wasn't a moving car. So,
well, and there have been reports in the past of people throwing, like, broken cinder blocks
over the overpass. Yeah, right, sort of right. That's what
so,
scares
yeah, in
me,
this
so.
Case, it was not. It was an individual sitting in a car at the time a cinder block goes through the front windshield.
Okay. Moving on to other things. This is a very serious story. You had Daquan Jones arrested for many repeated domestic abuse cases. Is this right?
Yeah, this story angers me just talking about it, so brace yourself. We got a call to go to a 6300 block of West Fairfield Drive on a disturbance. When we get there, a victim tells us that he had been abusing her, domestic violence, strangulation over the past, I mean, dozens of times over the last a couple of weeks, and she
my
also
note said
had,
50 times. Is
yeah,
that
just dozens of times? Yeah, there. And then she provided us with video, apparently some from the in-home video that they had in the house that would document some of the strangulation and that sort of thing that took place. And then we also found while watching the video that this particular character decided also that he would abuse a puppy, a small French bulldog, was also seen. Our deputy saw the video and described it. And those of you who are sensitive to animal abuse, you know, hold your ears. But he says he was holding the dog upside down by his rear leg, swinging him around, kicking the dog into a wall multiple times, beating the dog repeatedly with a belt, and violently shaking the dog. I'm not even going to go into even more than this. I can't even get into it too much. But I will tell you that sometimes the little things that make law enforcement worth it, and putting cuffs on people that do things like this is just one of those little things that we enjoy. I guess if there was any more way to enjoy it, it would have been had he run and one of our canines had got a hold of him. Probably would have been a little different kind of justice, professionally, of course, you know. But this kind of activity, it makes it makes being law enforcement worth it because you do get to put these people in jail.
And you know, you and I talk a lot of times about, you know, thank God for stupid criminals, but, you know, somebody's going to do stuff like this inside their own home with a video system that records it. Well, thanks for the evidence, right?
Yeah, you know, first of all, you shouldn't be doing anything close to this at all. I mean, you can't do it to another person.
Right.
And clearly, there was evidence to support that he had done this to another person. And then you do it to a defenseless animal like this. It just, again, I have no words. If we weren't on the radio, I'd tell you what I really feel about this.
I could not agree more. It's not here in Escambia County, but just because we're talking about animal cruelty. I saw the story out of Mobile where they busted a big dog fighting ring, like 50 people or something. Has that been an issue recently here? To my way of thinking, this is a human behavior I do not understand, but it is a human behavior that appears to be common enough. I mean, I see people raising their pit bulls and, you know, I make inferences about what might be going on with folks, and I'm assuming it goes on, but you tell me, is this a problem in Escambia County recently at all?
We haven't had any reports of it. I'm like you. We kind of hear things, and we're not naive to the fact that if it's happening in Mobile, it's happening in other places, it could very well be happening somewhere in Escambia County.
Right.
But if we do get reports of it, we certainly investigate it. We work with animal control. They do a really good job of working with us and letting us know what's taking place. Most of the calls that we work with animal control on are just abuse, leaving dogs out in the heat with no water or in a small, too small a cage or a kennel. Those are most of the calls that we get on. But again, to think that it's not happening, it may well be happening on a smaller scale than what they had in Mobile County. I did see the article, but I don't know all the particulars about that. I did see the sheriff saying, we're not going to tolerate that. And I can't imagine any sheriff, any police chief, any municipality or county that would even come close to tolerating, you know, the animal fighting like that. Because if you see the pictures of the of what takes place, the during and then certainly the aftermath, it is just, it's horrendous. And that's one of those things where you're happy to put cuffs on somebody and you know, if they resist, they resist.
Right. There was one other one I said, all of a sudden I lost my place in my notes here, but maybe it was more good news things. Oh, it was the Foley announcement that they're raising their starting pay for their police officers, $55,000, which we're in that vicinity, right?
We're at a little over 50 now. And in October, thanks to a contract agreement that I have with the Board of County Commissioners, we're going to be at about 52.5, something like that, which is competitive for our area. I happen to think that people look at more than just starting pay. I think they look at the environment. They look at the community that's supporting law enforcement as it is in Escambia County. I think they also look at a professional work environment, opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a pretty large agency. We're probably the largest agency from here to Jacksonville. So we have offer a lot. You can be on the SWAT team, drug team, homicide, crime scene, boat team, dive team. We have a little bit of everything. And we offer top-notch training, top-notch opportunities. You can retire at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. You can raise a family here. We continue to work to keep that pay competitive.
Sure.
We don't really compete with Foley, but the fear here is that Foley competes with, I guess, Baldwin County. And in Baldwin County, we do sometimes compete with Baldwin County. And so we have to make sure that our deputies are fairly compensated. Here's the thing. Am I comfortable with where we are regarding recruiting? Yes. Do I think our deputies and first responders need more money? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because I just told you some of the stories of some of the things that our deputies see and have to experience. And I don't know what that's worth to a community, but I don't know that you can pay them enough for that.
You know, a thought occurs to me. I know for Escambia County Fire Rescue, one of the interesting notes about Escambia County is we have a lot of fires. And that's a bad thing, obviously, for the citizens. But there's a value to firefighters in that, you know, they might make more pay somewhere else, but they won't be doing the job like they do here. And one of the appeals of Escambia County Fire Rescue is with there being so many incidents, there's a lot of action, so to speak. You know, they're involved in it. Does Escambia County, is that a factor at all for people who come to Escambia County? I just don't know if it's a factor in policing where, you know, like if you have a really, really quiet area where there's no crime at all and you kind of, it's boring to be a cop, you know, and Escambia County, I know the crime numbers have been going down, but, you know, we do have a lot of incidents. Is that a factor in where somebody goes to do law enforcement work?
It is. Well, I can just speak for myself. When I got into law enforcement, I wanted to be what I thought was a real cop. I wanted to be a local cop. I didn't want to be an FBI agent. I didn't want to be a you know, somebody's other federal authorities. I didn't at the time want to be a state officer. I wanted to be a local. I wanted to police my community, and I wanted something like I see on television. I wanted to be able to write tickets if tickets need to be written. I want to be able to work crashes. I want to be able to work homicides. I want to be able to work drug cases. I want to be able to be on the SWAT team. And all of that was offered right here locally at the time. I worked at the Pensacola Police Department. We certainly offer that now at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. So I do believe that there are In fact, I can show you the evidence that people are applying to go to our training academies, our police academies, and I think we have 18 more that are doing our what we call our PATS test, our physical abilities test, just today or tomorrow. And so I think that there are people that want to be a police officer and they want to do all that implies, all that they think it implies, all that they hear about it, and it's an exciting job. it's something you can't get anywhere else. It's a front row seat to the greatest show on earth, and you just can't beat that Escambia County Sheriff's Office.
You know, you had a couple of good things happening recently. It's a crime response thing, but you had another drug house that you took down on Blunt Street, right? And you're kind of racking up the tallies.
Yeah. People were asking, well, man, it seems like y'all were doing a lot of search warrants. And I'm like, you know what? Let's go back about 2 months and see how many search warrants we've been doing and how many, we call them drug houses, are closed. And we come down about 25. Now, we don't put them all out. So if the numbers go from 25 to 27, it's because we didn't put out number 26. But in this one, we put out the 2300 block of West Blunt Street. We seized a couple firearms, 170 grams of cocaine. That's a lot for people that are listening. 158 grams of methamphetamine, 70 grams of MDMA, which is another methamphetamine, 4.5 grams of fentanyl, 1,800 grams of spice, and then like $700. This is like that collection of drugs that we talk about a lot where you don't just sell one thing. You sell a bunch of things, and you mix and match, and that's why they can be so darn dangerous. But also, you see here, guns are involved, and guns are always involved. And people wonder, well, how come there's gun violence? Well, it's because they're dealing and stealing. Yeah, right, exactly. And you got people coming, you got people robbing. You know, we have for the drugs. They don't have enough money, but they want the drugs anyways, and it's just a back and forth type of thing. So this is number 25. Hopefully we'll continue with our numbers, just to let people know that our narcotics unit, in addition to everything else we're doing, in addition to our patrol unit, our homicide unit, our SWAT team, addition to all that stuff, we are kicking butt and kicking doors at the same time.
You had just did a Dream Big night for the 5 to 11-year-olds. In fact, I got a couple of notes in here. One says, Sheriff just held a wonderful event for kids. My granddaughter was there. She loved it. Somebody else says, best sheriff and staff. And somebody else said, Escambia County Sheriff's Office needs to be paid more. So you're getting the community support via our text
let's
line.
Let's read those
morning again.
Yeah. Especially that sheriff part. Yeah. Hey, we had a Dream Big. It was actually Saturday morning. It was the second one we've had this year. The first one was hampered by rain. But this one we had standing room only. It's our opportunity to have kids age 5 through 11 to come there and kind of and dream big, like it would be to be an Escambia County Sheriff's deputy. We provide them with a shirt that looks a lot like ours. Mm-hmm. We give them a junior deputy badge. They go through the training. They go through the obstacle course. They go through crime scene. They go through vehicle operations. So they sit in our cars, in our SWAT cars. They turn on the lights, the sirens. We go through our core values of courtesy, integrity, professionalism with them. We get a couple pictures. It's a nonstop moving thing, and it's just something very rewarding for us to do. And we'll have one more. The only negative is that I got a couple of messages. Hey, I didn't see this before it filled up. I am sorry. We can only have so many people in the class, and that's why we're going to have 3 Dream Big sessions and 3 Blazer Academy sessions, which are 2 different groups of people. The Blazer Academy are mentorship programs for 13, 14, 15-year-old men and women. And then the Dream Big is for 5 through 11-year-old children, basically.
Got it.
It's just part of our outreach. We talked about, you know, what we have to offer at the sheriff's office. Sometimes people want to work as an SRO, a resource officer. Sometimes people want to work in the courthouse. Sometimes people want to work in the community services with the kids, and we have all of that stuff. So if you want to be a sheriff's deputy,
you'll find a place for them.
Give us a call, and there's no place better.
And you guys have a movie night coming up on Friday, right?
We do. Again, continue with our engagement opportunities to go along with our enforcement opportunities. We have movie night at Dixon. Dixon School, and we start at 5:30. We'll serve free hamburgers, free hot dogs, and then we'll show a movie at 6:00. I don't know the name of the movie, but it's going to be a great movie. We use our big screen. It was donated to us by the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation to allow us to have these movie nights, and then the hamburgers, hot dogs are paid for through drug money that we seize from these bad guys when we shut their drug houses down. So no tax dollars are being used, but it's a good time to be had by all.
Very good, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always. Thanks for keeping us safe. And great to have you. Thanks so much. 5:53 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you are in the market for that next vehicle, or maybe not yet in the market, like I think, you know, if you're already looking, you know to go to Frontier Motors. I assume, you know, you're a listener to this show. You've heard me talk about them enough. You're smart. You figure it out. Okay. But you might be kind of like the person who's delaying. You know, you're not sure yet. Well, okay. I get it. Me too. I do the same thing. I just kind of, you know, I like to brag about how long I hang onto a car, and usually that means I spend too much money fixing up an old car that really I probably ought to have gotten rid of by now. I'm the guy who took a Honda Accord to 330,000 miles so I could brag about selling to my mechanic running. You know, like, that's me, okay? So I'm not, like, the frequent repeat buyer. Probably the worst client that Frontier has in that regard. But when it comes time, as it did come time not that long ago, for us to replace a Grand Caravan that we'd had for a long time, bought it when a kid was born, and he was 15 at the time, and we needed to replace it, so we did, with a Honda Odyssey that we test drove at Frontier Motors because they were the only ones who had one, and they worked with us on the price, and it was a great price, and it was an outstanding car. It was exactly what we wanted, and we just bought it because it was super easy, and that was our experience. And then they followed up with us afterwards to make sure everything was good, which is amazing for a used car place to say a year after they sell you a car, everything okay? Because we'll take care of it if it's not. Who does that? Well, I mean, Frontier does that. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
How long could your business function without email? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. Three Gulf Coast businesses had their email shut down for 2 days because one employee clicked a spam email link. Be suspicious of any unsolicited email offers, especially if they are too good to be true. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Like sports, music, computers, or animals?
So do children who are awaiting adoption.
Families First Network is the connection between children who wait in foster care and families who adopt.
As the trusted partner for adoptions in Northwest Florida, Families First Network connects adoptive families with training and support throughout the entire process.
Begin your journey by signing up for a free Zoom information session at familiesfirstnetwork.org.
That's familiesfirstnetwork.org.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin. 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. Nice, man. I am dangerous.
You know, one of the, like, stories that I have been covering for, well, several years now is this I-10 replacement, the Bayway replacement going from Mobile to Spanish Ford, and how they wanted to toll it, and then there was a lot of pushback, and then they said they wouldn't, and now they're back to wanting to toll it. And, you know, then the price tag has gone up quite a bit on this project over the years because, you know, construction prices have gone way up. And I have said very consistently through the whole time, you can't toll the interstate. You can't toll the interstate. Well, they're still trying, okay? But the newest news is that with the project having ballooned from, I think it was like $2 billion when it started, to now $3 to $3.5 billion, which is apparently twice the total whole budget of Alabama Department of Transportation, ALDOT.
Wow.
Yeah. FDOT, by the way, is about $15 billion a year, just for perspective. Anyway, ideally, construction would have already started on the six-lane project, but and, you know, they've got gridlock at the tunnels, like all kinds of things connected to here. But because of all of the things, the timeline right now is we don't know. We don't know. They don't have funding for it. They don't know what they're going to do because the price has gone up so much. Getting the feds on board, there's a whole series of maybes, but nothing is going to be happening anytime soon. So on the good news side of the ledger, you're not going to be paying tolls anytime soon. On the bad news side of the ledger, the traffic's not going to get any better, and that crumbling infrastructure that is the Bayway, which is very vulnerable to storm surge and things, is going to stay like it is.